Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, honoring Arbor Day on April 26th, with an ongoing commitment to sustainable stewardship and conservation of Missouri's forests. ChooseWood.com.
State Senator Andrew Koenig made some assertions yesterday on our show.
Total cases in ICU is at 205. 18% capacity left in ICU beds, and total hospital beds are 49% vacant.
Today, we asked Dr. Alex Garza for a fact check.
How do we count bed capacity? And so for the state, they've been using what are called, the normal sort of beds that we have. But how we look at it is our staffed beds. And so I'll just tell you from looking at within our SSM data yesterday, we were at 96% capacity for our intensive care unit. That means 96% of all of our beds were filled.
I'm Sarah Fenske. This is St. Louis on the Air. Yesterday, a group of Republican lawmakers held a press conference outside the Chesterfield restaurant Satchmo's. Later that day, health inspectors would shut down Satchmo's, which offered indoor dining in defiance of St. Louis County's COVID-19 restrictions. And what the legislators unveiled that morning were their plans to take on those restrictions in the state capitol. State Senator Andrew Koenig was one of the speakers. He represents part of St. Louis County, and yesterday he introduced a bill to bar local authorities from the kind of business closures and restrictions ordered by the county. Senator Koenig joined us later on the show to discuss his bill. We wanted to fact check a few things. So joining us today to help with that is Dr. Alex Garza. He's the commander of the St. Louis Metropolitan Pandemic Task Force. Dr. Garza, welcome.
Yeah, great to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
So Republican lawmakers are making a big push. They want to block restrictions like the ones now in effect in St. Louis County. Is that a big concern for you?
This is what I think the big concern is, I completely understand the issues surrounding impacting businesses and people's livelihoods. And so I don't think that anybody takes that lightly. I think where the concern is where what is the issue that we're talking about? And so certainly any time where people come together in an enclosed space, that they're not related to each other, that there's an increase in the likelihood of transmission of virus. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't really matter if it's a restaurant or a bar or some other building. It's always going to increase the risk of transmission. And I think we've been very clear about that it doesn't necessarily, it's not the activity in and of itself. It's really how people come together that is really increasing the risk of transmission of virus.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a bit about how big a concern that transmission is right now. Senator Koenig insisted yesterday that Missouri has more than enough capacity for COVID-19 patients. I want to play you just an excerpt of what he said.
I do think there's some misinformation. I looked on Missouri's website on total cases. Total cases in ICU is at 205 in the St. Louis region. And total cases in hospitals around 800. That would include the surrounding areas such as St. Charles, Jefferson. There's 18% capacity left in ICU beds, and total hospital beds are 49% vacant, or there's capacity for 49%. This notion that hospitals are 100% overrun and 100% full, this is false. It's not true.
That is State Senator Andrew Koenig. And we did, push with him a little bit. Nobody's saying they're 100% full. But this assertion he's making that there's plenty of room out there, is that true?
No, that's not true. And we run into this quite frequently. And so I think there's a little bit of confusion with how do we count bed capacity. And so for the state, they've been using what are called the normal sort of beds that we have, but how we look at it is our staffed beds. And the reason being, a bed doesn't treat a patient, people treat patients. And mm-hmm. So if we don't have the staff to treat the patient, then we take those beds offline. And so I'll just tell you from looking at within our SSM data yesterday, We were at 96% capacity for our intensive care unit. That means 96% of all of our beds were filled. So we had about 4%. And the same is true. I spoke with BJC and Mercy the other day as well, and they're in the same boat. And so just to give you a glimpse into what is occurring right now, when I spoke with BJC, they were converting some of their cardiac cath units into intensive care units so that they could build more capacity. There are some of our hospitals that can't take transfers from the rural regions because our ICUs are at capacity. I know when I was at our Lake St. Louis hospital on Friday, we had no ICU beds, and we actively were taking people out of the St. Louis metropolitan area because there were no critical care beds. So we're flying a patient to Quincy, Illinois. That was the closest place that we could find a critical care bed. So, I don't know how to address the discrepancy in the data. There was a good article in Science the other day describing all of the challenges with the HHS data, which is what I think feeds into the state data and shows a lot of the issues with how that data is pulled. But I can tell you that our ICU doctors and our ICU nurses would be happy to explain to anybody about our capacity challenges.
Okay, so this is not a case where we have just 51% are full and there's lots of room for anybody who needs to come in. As you said, this is a situation where we maybe have 4% left at many of our local hospitals, if that.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Bigger picture, Senator Koenig said this about the threat of COVID-19.
I think the virus is definitely dangerous for certain categories of people. If you're 65 and older, you probably should maybe stay at home. If you have pre-existing conditions, COVID-19 is a serious condition. For younger people, it's just really not that dangerous. There's 167,000 people that die from accidents, whether that's, for instance, car accidents. We could save lives by changing the speed limit to 5 miles an hour, but I don't think anybody would suggest that.
And that is State Senator Andrew Koenig. Dr. Garza, what would you want to say in response to this? At first, he's saying it's not dangerous to young people.
Well, I think that's a very it's a concerning statement to make. What we have seen is we're admitting younger and sicker patients to our hospitals. People that are in their 40s and in their 50s that we're having to put on ventilators and take extraordinary measures to take care of in our hospitals. Now, granted, some of them do have pre-existing conditions, whether that's diabetes. But the notion that if you're young, then everything is in the clear is false. Now, clearly, there are other age groups and risk factors that make you more predisposed to serious COVID illness. But I think a blanket statement is not correct. And the other issue with that is even if young people do better with COVID, which they do, they still participate in the transmission of the virus to potentially other people, which is why it's important that even if you're not at risk for serious disease, you still have a part to play in not passing disease along to other people that could be affected. And so that is the same things that we've spoken about for months now, wearing a mask, social distancing, all of those other things. So even though you yourself may not be at risk for disease, you do have the potential, 40% are asymptomatic carriers, to pass it along to somebody that could get injured. And I would just point out with the statistic about traffic fatalities, there are traffic fatalities, but that's also why we have seatbelt laws, in order to reduce the risk of fatality. And so when you look at risk, you come up with public health policy that helps reduce the risk. That's what seatbelts do. Seatbelts are mandatory, and there's good reason for it. It dramatically improves your chance of survival when everybody does it.
So he sort of pushed this point that this should be a matter of individual choice. He said if these vulnerable people self-isolate and never leave their home, they won't get the virus. The rest of us can just go on with the show. I'd love to give you just a minute to respond to that.
Yeah, although I think, it's very appealing to think that way. In reality, that doesn't occur. And so a good example of that is the country of Sweden that took that same approach. And what they found is that they had a higher mortality rate than their surrounding countries that took a much more proactive approach to public health. There was an opinion article in the Washington Post just the other day about how Sweden has abandoned this philosophy of only protecting the at-risk groups because they found that they had just huge excess mortality. Mm-hmm. Although it's appealing and it seems like a simple solution, in reality, it just doesn't work.
Well, Dr. Alex Garza, commander of the St. Louis Metropolitan Pandemic Task Force, thank you so much for joining us today.
Sure, no problem.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, honoring Arbor Day on April 26th, with an ongoing commitment to sustainable stewardship and conservation of Missouri's forests. ChooseWood.com.